Father, I thank you, Lord, as we gather together here around the word of God. We thank you and we declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. And we ask that that light will shine in our hearts. We give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, so just because the you know, healing room convocation, 3-day healing room convocation is over, doesn't mean that we may stop talking about healing. It's such an important, you know, part of our lives, because that's what Jesus went about doing, is healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So today I want to share this aspect. We know that healing is through faith, but I want to talk about even vicarious faith. You know, that's the, you know, in the place of someone else is what vicarious mean. You know, someone else standing in the gap. You know, sometimes it's we ourselves that need the prayer, the person that needs the healing, you know, that, will be believing. And sometimes it is, you know, someone else that will be believing for them. But either way, it's got to be by faith. And so let's look at a few more stories still on this subject of faith. And I trust and hope that, you know, people will come and give their testimonies, and let's not be like the 9 who were healed and never came back, except for the one that did, of the 10 lepers story. But some stories here that we want to look at in the Bible about, you know, how, and remember the lesson 3, especially of the 3-day healing room convocation, we talked mostly on how to keep, not only how to get your healing, but also how to keep it. And, you know, most of it is about, you know, faith and holding your ground and so on. Let's look at a few things here this morning. You know, just like a teaching helper of sorts. You know, we've covered these things, but I want to also read a few things where Jesus talked about faith. You know, he made some declarations like, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You just say that. And in the a couple of stories here, the one I was just talking about, you know, with the lepers, I believe we know this story, and 10 lepers that Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, I told that they discovered, you know, that the bodies had come clean. And the one of them came back and fell down at his feet and gave glory to God. And Jesus said to him in Luke 17 and verse 19, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, so we see there, point blank, that it is your faith that can make you whole. Your faith has made you whole, Jesus said. Here's another story in Mark chapter 10. Just a few stories here for us to look at this concept. And we did talk about some of that during those lessons, but I'll bring something out here. In Mark chapter 10, you know, let's read from about verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, there was a great number of people, including this man, Bartimaeus, who was blind. And he sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out a great deal more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Now, there's a lesson in that one right there. There is something that magnetizes and Jesus and stops him in his tracks. It's called the cry for mercy. There is no way in the world, nothing that can block the ears of the Lord for that. You know, you cry for mercy, not even sin. You know, if you say, Lord, have mercy upon me, I'm a sinner, God will hear it. Even though the Bible says God doesn't hear sinners, he will hear that one. You know, because Jesus gave us a story in Luke chapter 18 of two men that went to pray. One was bragging about all his good deeds and so forth, but the other one was just saying, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said, well, this man went home, you know, justified rather than the other. I mean, so the cry for mercy. There is no prayer that moves God beyond that. Just cry for the mercy of God, you know. Just cry for his mercy. And in all these things that were going on here, Jesus was going somewhere with a great number of people and so on. You know, and with all that, when the Lord heard this man say, Lord, have mercy upon me, or Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, he stopped. Because that caught his attention. That cry for mercy always does. And Jesus stood still. No more moving. That's it right there. And he said, commanded him to be called. And when they called the blind man, he said unto him, be of good comfort. The master is calling you. He cast away his garment, ran, came to Jesus. Of course, maybe somebody guided him. And Jesus said, what would I have done that I should do unto you? Because Jesus already knew, but wanted to hear it from him. And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And so, you know, sometimes the Lord will actually ask you that. What is it that I might do unto you? And the man said, well, I mean, you got to be specific when you get a situation like that. You got to be specific, because now it's like carte blanche. You know, he's giving you, you know, I mean, ask whatever you will. It's basically what he's saying here. And the man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus. You know, there is a great joy in my heart every time I see this word immediately, you know, after Jesus did something. And we see the word immediately. There's always a great joy in my heart. My goodness. I see the power of God. But the lesson here is, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. So in two situations here, and there are more, but I'm going to just keep it to that. In two situations here, we see where Jesus point blank said, their faith had made thee whole. Now, I want to talk about vicarious faith now, which is, you know, faith for someone else. This was the faith that these people had for themselves that made them whole. Let's talk about the faith that somebody else had on behalf of another person. There was a story we told even during this convocation that just ended. The story of Peter and John that healed this man that was at the beautiful gate of the temple. And when Peter was describing the stuff, when the people came around thinking that, my goodness, these people are great, they've done this great work, and Peter was talking about it, you know, he began to tell the people, said, look, if today, you know, we be examined, you know, by what power we have done these things, well, let it be known unto you today, he said, you know, it's not by our power, you know, but it is by the name of Jesus. So there are two things I want to bring out in this particular story, you know, that we want you to consider. Consider the fact that, number one, you know, healing, of course, we know it's by faith, right? But it's got to be faith in Jesus Christ. You know, this is the faith. I mean, this is what works, is faith in Jesus Christ. And as I was listening to that replay yesterday, I heard myself saying, well, you know, it's faith in no, I mean, you can't do it in any other way. And I was trying to help people who might not understand that as they were listening in. But most of you who are here, you do already understand that, you know. So faith, you know, is the one, I mean, faith in Christ is the one thing, one ingredient that is so necessary. Faith in Him and through His name, you know, Peter said, you know, is what has given this man this perfect soundness before you all. And I want to talk about that for a bit so that we see, you know, what elements are involved in that. So, you know, this faith in the name of Christ and through faith in His name, giving this man His perfect soundness. So let's see the elements, you know, that are in that story. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's consider, I want us to read it. I'm going to read it to you again slowly and see what Peter said, you know, as he began to talk to the people about these things. He indicted them for killing Christ. And then he told them, you know, Christ is the Prince of Life, whom you killed, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. That's verse 15 of Acts 3. And His name, through faith in His name, that's verse 16 of Acts 3, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Okay. Now, I'm going to show us examples here throughout this lesson of people having faith for themselves. We talked about that, but also somebody having faith for somebody else. Now, whose faith was it that Peter was describing here? Now, let's look at the story. They were going into the temple. This man was there, born from the mother's womb as lame, who they carried and laid at the temple daily so that he can ask alms of those that enter the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him and John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That something was alms. He wasn't expecting to be healed. Wasn't even thinking about that. You know, we're just expecting to receive some money. This is how the man survived. You know, every day he was there and somebody gave him something and he went home with a little something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Now, again, you can see that confidence there that Peter had. Well, you can't give what you don't have. So Peter said, well, I can't give you money because right there, I don't have that. You can only give what you have. But so Peter said, well, such as I have. Now, let's learn from that too. Let's have that same confidence when we are dealing with others. Jesus conferred in those, throughout those lessons, we showed how Jesus conferred this power to heal over upon His disciples. And so we have that. And we can say, well, such as I have, I give unto you. It's what Peter said here. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. I mean, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the man stood up and leaped and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, my question to you is this. Whose faith was in action here? Was it the man that was, you know, sitting there expecting to receive alms, or Peter and John? I say it was Peter's faith. He wasn't the man at all. You know, because the man was expecting something else. You know, so the faith that Peter was now describing in verse 16, saying that, well, you know, faith in the name of Christ, through faith in his name, has made this man whole and given him this perfect soundness before you all. And he stands before you today. He wasn't talking about the faith of the man, because the man did not necessarily have faith to be healed on that day. He was expecting alms from Peter and John. So we see how powerful someone else's faith can be in this situation. You know, how it was the faith of Peter, rather than the faith of the man that was lame, that brought about this healing in this particular case. So I want you to consider that, you know, as we go through these lessons. There were other places where, there's another place where somebody actually had faith to be healed. There's a story in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. In this case, you know, the man that was going to be healed was almost the same kind of scenario, right? You know, so let's read it. You know, this is about, you know, Paul. And this time around, the other one was Peter. Let's read the story from Acts chapter 14 and verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, almost like the other one, who had never walked, just like the other one. The other one was born lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked. They carried him to the temple. He was there begging alms of those that entered the temple. This man, same scenario. He had never walked. He was lame, crippled. You know, and when Paul was speaking in that place, the man was looking upon him. Paul saw that the man, see, Paul discerned in the spirit that the man, you know, had faith to be healed. Now, so here's a scenario almost similar to the other one. The first one didn't even know anything about healing, or just all he wanted was arms. In this case, this man, same kind of situation, but he had faith to be healed. So when Paul discerned that the man had faith to be healed, you know, how he discerned that, I don't know. The Holy Spirit showed it to him. So perceiving that the man had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, didn't even say it in the corner somewhere, "Stand upright on thy feet." Huh. Glory to God. And the man leaped and walked, just like the other one. Jumped up, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. That song we sing, "Silver and gold have I not." This same man also walked and leaped. And when the people saw what was done, they started to call, you know, Paul and, you know, people with him, you know, Barnabas and the rest of them, call them gods. And they started to make something out of it. Just like, you know, they were trying to give glory to Peter and John. They were trying to give glory to Paul and Barnabas here and so on. And they straightened them out. But the lesson I wanted to bring out here was that in this case, the man, cripple, had faith to be healed. In the other case, you know, well, okay, let me say it this way. There were two things working in conjunction in this story in Acts chapter 14. There was the faith of the person that needed the healing and the faith of the person that was preaching the word of God to the crowd. So Paul, you know, used his faith in conjunction with the man's faith. And, you know, because, I mean, when Paul perceived the man could be healed, Paul also knew in his heart that the man could be healed. So there were two people here that had faith to bring about this miracle. Well, in the story in Acts chapter 3, there could have been two people, but the person receiving the healing was not one of them. The second person might have been John. Maybe John was believing with Peter that this man would be healed. But the man himself that was to be healed, he knew nothing about it. He wasn't even expecting it. So these are some stories that we wanted to bring out. How, sometimes it's your faith that makes you whole. And sometimes it's somebody else's faith. This story that we told from Luke chapter 5, which was our theme scripture in the healing room series, Jesus was in Luke chapter 5. He was in a certain place teaching. The power of the Lord was present to heal. And we know that during that same chapter, during the time that Jesus was there, there was a scenario in which people brought someone, four men brought someone on a stretcher to be healed, and they had to go up through the roof and lay them down. I mean, you know all that story. But in that particular story, as we read, this was what we see that Jesus said in verse 20 of that story, when they had brought the man through the roof and laid him in front of Jesus. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the man. Now, perhaps the man himself was believing along with his friends, but it was mostly his friends that was doing it, because they were determined to get this man in front of Jesus. And they try to get through the crowd, and they could not, so they, look for whatever way they might get in. And so they had to go up to the housetop, the story. But it was their faith, I believe, that the Lord saw and caused him to have compassion in that situation, because he saw how they worked hard to get this man in front of Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, hallelujah. And so it could be, let's say there were four of them that carried him. So there could have been five of them. Could have been all five that were believing, or it could just have been the four, but there were people believing on his behalf. That's what I wanted to bring out here. So Jesus saw their faith. Jesus, this scripture doesn't say Jesus saw his faith, which would have then been just the man. But no, it was, there were people that were believing for him. This story is also in Mark chapter 2. Let me read that part as well. Maybe we'll see a little slightly different rendition. Now, let's read it from here. And again, he entered into Capernaum. I'll just read it from verse 1. Mark chapter 2. After some days, he entered into Capernaum. It was noise that he was in the house. And straight away, there were many people gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not even so much as to move around the door. And he stood there and preached the word unto them. And there come unto him, bringing one on the sick of the palsy that was born by four. So here we see where there were four of them carrying him. And when they could not come near unto him because of the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and we were broken it up. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was, before the man. Before Christ, they let the man down before him. And when Jesus saw their faith, then he said to the sick of the palsy, and so on and so forth. So again, we see it was the faith of the people that had this, that went through all these lengths to get their friend to stand before Jesus. Well, let's talk about some other people in the Bible, some stories, Matthew chapter 8. There's a story in verses 5 to 13 about a man that cared for, one of his co-workers. Powerful story that we use for preaching some of that stuff, this is the story of Speak the Word Only. that we've used to preach one thing or the other. When Jesus was entering the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Looks like this paralysis was really prevalent in those days, grievously tormented. In this case, this man was beseeching Christ for his servant. So it could be a co-worker. It could be, he was the boss in this case, beseeching Christ for someone who was his servant. And, so he said, and he told Jesus the situation. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the man turned around and said, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. But you don't even need to do that. Just speak the word only. And he said, look, I myself am a man under authority. I know how these things work. I have soldiers under me. When I say to this man, one of them, go, he goeth. I say to another, come, he cometh. I say to my servant, even this one that is sick, go do this, he will do it. And I said to them, and Jesus marveled when he saw the man's understanding. See, the man had tremendous understanding. He used his own personal situation to understand that, well, if I can be commanding people around like this and they're doing it in my realm, Jesus can do the same in his realm. Yeah, speak the word only. You don't even need to come. And Jesus said, wow. I say unto you, verily I say unto you, I have, not, he said that to the crowd that followed him. He turned around and said, wow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He was amazed. Jesus loved great faith. He didn't like the little faith or unbelieving faith of the disciples, but occasionally when he saw great faith, he was impressed. He loved the faith of this man. And again, he said to the man, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, it wasn't the servant that was believing anything in this case. Maybe the servant didn't even know that his master was doing this. Yet, the master of the servant was there beseeching the Lord for the healing of his servant who was far away. At least not there with them. Which brings me to Psalm 107 verse 20. And we use this during the series. The Lord sent his word and healed them. So whenever, somebody may not even be there. We understand healing of laying on of hands through Mark chapter 16. Those that believe shall lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. But, whether they are there physically or not, you can believe for their healing, is what we are seeing in this case. The servant wasn't even with this man. It was someplace else. We don't know the distance between where he was and the place that, his servant was. Could have been a great distance apart. But nevertheless, he stood there and believed God, challenged Jesus that, look, I know how these things work. You don't even need to, come. All you have to do is speak the word. I understand it. Wow. And Jesus was amazed. And the man was healed. Praise the Lord. Well, there is a story of a mother. Now, this was a boss to a co-worker. There is a mother to, a situation of, her daughter and so forth. And this is the one we also told this story the other day. This one is in Matthew chapter 15. Verses 22 to 28. Well, one of the places where it is. This was a woman of Cana. We call her Syrophoenician in another place. This is the one, that Jesus said, well, I can't take children's bread and give to dogs and so on. In this particular case, this woman was standing for her daughter. She wasn't asking healing for herself. She was asking healing for her daughter. So whether it's family, we've seen friends that brought somebody on a stretcher. We've seen relationship, business relationship the master and the boss and his servant. It could be a boss and a co-worker. I mean, somebody that worked for them, or it could be a co-worker. It could be, I mean, so we're seeing relationships in different spheres of life, friends, business associates or whatever, even relationship of, you know, boss versus subordinates. We see it. Now we see mother child. We see it. This woman stood in the gap for her daughter. We know the end of the story, that her daughter was healed. So I'm not going to go too much into detail on the story. We did that already, but it was mother, daughter in this case. And here's another one in Matthew 17, verses 14 to 20, of father and son. So these situations are in the Bible for our examples. This was the one that brought Jesus had gone to the Mount Transfiguration, with three of his disciples. Time he came back down, he found a man that came and talked to him and said, "Lord, you know, have mercy on my son. It's a lunatic. So vexed and oftentimes falls into the fire and into the water and so forth. And the devil trying to kill him. And I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him." And Jesus said, "Wow. Oh, faithless and perverse generation." So this is how it looks to the Lord when we are not able to heal the sick. This is what it looks like, because Jesus already gave them the power to heal the sick. Yeah, I mean, this is Matthew 17. In Matthew 10, he gave them the power to do it. Send them out. And they went and did it. Now here, they couldn't do it, although Jesus revealed a secret later that was lacking, but nevertheless, he was disappointed that they couldn't do it. Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you and teach you these things? I mean, when are you going to get it? You can do these things. I've already given you the power in my name. Can't you do this? So bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Now, in this case, it wasn't the child that was believing anything. It was the father. In the case of the Canaan woman, or Canaanite, or Syrophoenician, it was the mother that was believing for the daughter. In the case of the centurion, it was the centurion believing for his servant. In the case of the man on the stretcher, was the friends believing for him. In some cases, those people believed for themselves. But in many cases, there were people that believed for somebody else. Well, let's talk about this standing in the gap for somebody else a little bit. But that's the one I actually want to focus on today. Let's not be worried about... And sometimes when we're trying to pray for the sick, we hide behind the fact that, the person did not believe, that's why they're not healed. Well, these people, they didn't hide behind that to say whether the person believed or didn't believe. They used their own faith. The one that Jesus healed in John chapter 5, the man who was waiting for the angel and the water and all that, Jesus healed him. Jesus just healed him. It wasn't because the man had faith. I mean, the man had faith, but in a different direction. Whether faith or not, he had hope, I think, is what the man had. Had hope in a different direction. But Jesus straightened him out that, look, you may be looking over here, but here is, and this is another lesson in that story, by the way. I mentioned it in passing when we covered that story. Sometimes we're expecting our healing to come only through one particular direction. Well, the doctor said this and they prescribed this and I got to go through this treatment. I got to do that. I got to wait for the angel. I got to wait for the stirring of the pool. Maybe I'll get healed. Okay. That's one way of doing it. Or right here, right now, Jesus can take care of it. So sometimes we may be looking, sometimes we think that that's how our miracle is going to come because of the way God had done it in the past. It may not even be healing, maybe something else. But we limit God sometimes in just focusing on, well, this is the way God did it, and this is the way he's going to do it. Maybe, and maybe not. You know, God can, you know, shake things up and switch things around and do anything he wants. And he's not a one-way traffic that he always has to go this way and always has to heal you through the angel and the stirring of the water and the pool and all of that. Today, he just said, no, it's not about that. I'm going to heal you anyway. So he healed the man, you know, whether the man had faith to be healed for that moment or not, we don't know. He had hope that if he was the first one to get in the pool, when the angel stirred it, he would be healed. But did he have faith for the moment? I don't know. But nonetheless, Jesus healed him. You know, so let's not hide behind the fact that, oh, people don't have faith to be healed. That's why they're not healed. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 5, the Lord talked about people that he is looking for to stand in the gap. That's right. You know, and, you know, the Lord is not talking about, well, you know, when you stand in the gap, you need to bring them along, carry them along, make sure they are also believing with you. Didn't say anything like that. He just wants you to be the one to stand in the gap for them. You know, whether they are believing along or not, doesn't matter. You believe for them. So Jesus said, look, you know, challenge the people. You know, God said, look, you have not gone up into the gaps, neither have you made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. You know, so he's looking for someone to stand in the gap. Same thing he said in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. In this one is more, this in the chapter 13, he's indicting them for not doing it. In chapter 22, he's telling them what he's looking for. You know, he said, look, I am looking, you know, for someone that will do this. I sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I mean, so the people of the land might have been unbelieving and going crazy, you know, in their sins. But one person can stand in the gap and believe, you know, and God could do it. Just for because of one person's faith, not because of all the other people, you know. And this was a story we saw in the case of Abraham when he was stood there and was negotiating with the Lord about not destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, kept saying, and I said, well, okay, fine. He said, look, if you find this and that, and Abraham was using his faith to try to intercede that that place should not be destroyed. And, you know, he kept arguing and pleading his case before the Lord. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 62, which we read from time to time, verses 6 and 7, he said, look, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. You who are praying on behalf of Jerusalem and so forth, keep not silent. So the thing is this, there may be someone in your life that's in need of prayer. Can you believe the Lord for them and stand in the gap? You know, it may be for yourself, but it may be for somebody else. And when you come to the altar, can you stand in the gap and believe for that special person in your life? And when you come to these rooms and we're praying, can you believe? Whether they believe or not is not the issue now. You know, so let that not be a hindrance. Say, well, you know, I don't know. They believe. You may even have an unbelieving member of the family. You can stand in the gap for them. Now, there is a benefit to you, you know, praying for them in the name of the Lord, because that gives witness to the name of Jesus. For you laying hands upon them in the name of the Lord, say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, receive your healing and doing something to get them up out of that bed. There's a benefit to that because they now see that it wasn't happenstance or by chance or something. Some specific prayer was made for them in the name of Jesus, and that's how they got their healing. And that can be a powerful witness to them. But again, you know, it could be your faith that's working. Sometimes they may have faith, and then sometimes it may be both of you have faith. Or, you know, sometimes it's just the person that's praying for the person that is ill or sick that needs the faith. You know, as long as there is faith working, there's faith in the name of Jesus, the Lord can do it. So let's consider that as part of our lesson on healing, that you can actually stand in the gap for somebody else. As we've seen these stories, they may or may not even be present with you, as we've seen in the case of the daughter of the woman. She wasn't there with her. The servant of the centurion wasn't there with him. I mean, you know, in some cases they brought them along, like the man brought his lunatic son. But in some cases they left them at home and they just asked for prayer. Or, I mean, asked for the Lord to have mercy on them. So either way, whether they are with you or not with you, we can believe God on their behalf. So I wanted to stretch this topic of healing a little bit more on this topic of believing for someone else. Now, of course, it is to the advantage of the gospel to let them know what you are doing. You know, because, you know, that gives the gospel the credit. And say, well, look, and what is the gospel? It's the power of God, you know, to show the people, you know, the authority of Jesus in this world. That's the power of God unto salvation. So when we tell them the gospel, say, look, I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll be healed. And when they are healed, they will know that it was that gave them the healing, not just some random thing, chance. So that's the benefit to that. But the point here is whether they are with you or not, whether they are believing or not, you can use your faith. So powerful, especially when parents are praying for their children. Your child may be suffering one thing or the other. They may not even believe anything. Well, you have the right. We've seen here there was a mother and there's a father. There are, you know, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every concept and every word be established. Well, we've seen the concept of the parent standing for their child. And we see that Jesus honored it. Well, we've seen the concept of friends standing for somebody they cared about. You know, and we see Jesus honored it. And what does that mean in our day? Well, it means you talk to your friend about it. Some of you brought your friends along with you. Somebody even gave up going to their local service on that day in order to go and be with their friend, not to bring them to this prayer room on that day. I mean, that was a powerful, powerful step of faith and compassion. You know, and we've seen all these relationships, you know, that you can stand in the gap for somebody else. And what's even more powerful is that Christ himself is over the household of God as our high priest, you know, ever making intercession for us. So, you know, now in Hebrews chapter 7, we see in verse 25, this ongoing role. Christ himself is doing this vicarious thing all the time, you know, standing in the gap for us all the time. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we're told that, you know, Christ is, you know, on our behalf, praying the Father all the time, you know. And I don't know what exact conversation is going on there, but according to this scripture, you know, talking about how Christ is so much, you know, a surety of a better testament, and that he being a high priest that was able to continue forever because, you know, he wasn't dying like all the other high priests. Death made them unable to continue, so another high priest would take their place. Well, when Jesus was installed as a high priest, death could no longer kill him because he got out of the grave forever. So his priesthood becomes unchangeable. And because he was unchangeable, he said, well, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Seeing he had ever liveth to make intercession for them. So Christ himself, you know, on our behalf. And you know, he prayed a powerful prayer for us in John chapter 17. I love that prayer. I ask everybody to study it on their time. There are many things that Jesus prayed in that prayer. Among many things, he prayed, you know, that, you know, the Lord will keep us from evil. So he already prayed that he will be kept from evil. And he was always saying, look, and he said in that prayer, I'm not just for these that I have right now, you know, but those that will hear of me through their preaching. That means down through the ages, as the gospel gets cascaded, somebody told somebody and somebody told somebody else and somebody told somebody else. All that time, since 2,000 years ago and more, we're still here hearing about Christ, and Jesus prayed for all of us. You know, isn't that beautiful? And so you also, you can pray and use your faith for your children. Use your faith for their children. Use your faith for your friends. Use your faith for your co-workers and neighbors, etc. And so we're going to do that again today. Some of you may already have done it, and God bless you for doing that. But some of us may need to do that as well today. So if there's a loved one, in a moment I'm going to pray for your loved ones. And this is vicarious faith. You can stand in the gap for them. Don't worry about whether they are believing God or not. You let them know about the Lord. You know, but you believe God for them. Hallelujah. So we're going to stand here in a moment here. I'm going to pray for, we're going to stand in the gap, I want to say. We're going to figuratively stand in the gap. I'm going to pray for your loved ones that the Lord will heal them. Glory to God. And if you have a friend, same thing. Your brother in the Lord, your sister in the Lord that you are praying for, same thing. Whether they are there with you physically, your husband may be miles away, same thing. Your friend may be miles away, or hundreds or thousands of miles, doesn't matter. Same thing. We stand in the gap for them. We use our faith. When God sees your faith for this situation, he's going to answer your faith. You know, and there are times even that people, you know, cannot, you know, have faith for themselves. I mean, the dead cannot have faith to be raised. You know, they're dead. Lazarus was dead. They have faith. Even his sister was struggling with it. And Jesus was telling her, your brother shall rise again. She was struggling with it. Well, I know he will rise in the resurrection. This and this and this. Jesus was talking about right now. She was talking about the future. Because she really didn't see how. I mean, even though she said, well, you know, why didn't you come when we called for you? But anyway, I know that even now God will still hear you. But somehow, you know, she just couldn't, you know, reconcile the fact that after 4 days being in the grave, this man could come out of there. Nobody ever seen such a thing, you know. But Jesus showed it because he wanted to show it. He even told the disciples, look, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Let's go. I'm going to show you something. You know, so he just waited that the man could die, you know, and then be buried because he wanted to show them that, you know, whether I'd be in the grave or alive or whatever, he can heal them all and call them out of there. You know, and whether anybody was believing or not didn't matter. Jesus stood right at that grave, called Lazarus out of there. Glory to God. And you could have heard a pin drop, you know, that day. The silence that came when Jesus called with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come out of there. And everybody was just silent. And in a moment, this man came out of there bound and all, but he come out anyway. You're going to answer. Look, Jesus himself said it. The hour is coming and now is. You know, look, all that I, you know, hear the voice of the Son of God, they will leave. Also later on, he said, the hour is coming that those that are in the graves will hear his voice. Anytime the voice of the master goes out, people, even creation must respond. If you can get the Lord to speak, then situation must respond. But the other way, you can believe that the Lord has already spoken. See, that's the thing. He's already given his word to us in the Bible. Now, if the Lord speak anything, creation must respond. We know that. But if you believe that God already spoken in the Bible, you can make it happen the same way. You know, it's all about what you believe. I said in the series that, look, you believe that you can touch his hem of his garment and you'll be healed, well, so be it. If you believe that he can speak the word to you, so be it. There are some other people that say, come and lay your hand on my child. And Jesus said, fine. I mean, whatever it is you believe in, he can do it because he opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. So, but creation must respond to his voice. Once the word of God is spoken out, it carries through even the airwaves and everything. Jesus one time, he said to Peter, Jesus only said something and the creation was responding to it. You know, he said to Peter one day, launch out into the deep. So I said, well, I've done that. You know, so just say, well, okay, fine. But nevertheless, at your word. I love that word, nevertheless. And switch that around and believe God. And you know, the moment that Jesus said it and gave Peter that instruction, well, go over on this side and cast your net over on this side. The moment he said that, all the fish from anywhere, miles away or wherever, it didn't matter, they're coming to that place. I mean, Peter might have been there before, it didn't matter. You know, but as soon as Jesus spoke that word, all the fish are coming there because they heard the voice of the master. That's right. Coming there. That's it. You know, if we can have the faith to recognize how powerful the word of God is. Another time Jesus said to Peter, I mean, Peter was a recipient of many, many miracles that Jesus did. This Peter, you know, one time Jesus said to Peter, look, who should pay taxes? This and that. So, okay, fine. So that we don't offend them, pay tax for us. Jesus wasn't carrying money around. It didn't matter to him whether he had money or not. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. You know, go down to the lake and throw in your net, and the first fish you catch, you know, open it up, you'll find a silver coin in there, enough to pay for you and me. The moment Jesus said that, there was only one coin somewhere in that place. But all the fish are struggling. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be that favored one to catch that coin. You see? That's it. And they are fighting among themselves. They got to catch that coin because the master said so. Now, what is the master speaking in his word? I am the Lord that healed thee. As soon as he said that, sicknesses are falling away. That's right. Because it's the voice of the master now. Everything responds to him. Everything. You know, even according to James 2 and 19, even the devils tremble. Hallelujah. The sound of that name. Glory to God. Believe in one God and they tremble. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to pray for you right now. I want you to stand in the gap, you know, prophetically speaking, so to say. You know, stand in the gap for your loved one or this person, somebody that you're believing God for today. And distance notwithstanding, praise God. And let's believe the Lord together. We've seen all these examples now. So here we go. Let's pray and let's release the word of God. Now, we're using your faith now. It doesn't matter whether it doesn't matter their condition. It's your faith right now. It's what we're using. Peter said, faith in Christ's name, you know, has given this man perfect soundness in the front of you. But it wasn't the man that was believing. It was Peter. Peter's faith. I was talking about his faith. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we have faith in the word of God. We have believed. Therefore, we have spoken. And Lord, we stand. We've seen these examples over and over and over again in the Bible where someone believed for somebody else. And you even said, I'm looking for such a person to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Now we stand in God for our loved one. You may be praying for your husband. You may be praying for your child or children. You may be praying for your friend or neighbor, your brother or sister in the Lord. Whoever we're praying for today, never mind whether they are believing or not. We will use our faith. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, in this case, your faith, hallelujah, glory to God, they will do what only He can do. So Lord, as we believe you together here today, I pray the Lord send the arrows of deliverance in the direction of those for whom we are praying today. The Lord sent His word. That means they are at a distance. If they were right there, there will be no need of sending. The Lord sent His word and healed them. So for your loved ones that are not even in the same room with you today, they may be thousands of miles away even. Doesn't matter. You stand in the gap. Faith in the name of Christ, even vicarious faith, can get it done. You stand in the gap for somebody else. Lord, as we're standing today, we declare faith. Faith in the name of Jesus. Bring forth the healing for that person that we're praying for even now in Jesus' name. Now, I am also standing in the gap prophetically, so to speak, for everyone that's in this room and everyone to be coming, you know, through that time. I'm still praying. But the Lord said, give not the Lord any peace and hold not your silence until you see it done. Glory to God. So, Lord, I stand in the gap also for everyone that's in this room today. I use my faith to believe God for your healing. Glory to God. And the healing of your loved ones and where they may be. We send the word of God in their way. Praise God. Sometimes the word needs to go into the bones and the marrows and flush out every trace of cancer and whatever is in there. Glory to God. Sometimes the Lord needs to send the word into the bones and marrows and recreate new bloods and get rid of, you know, the lupus and whatever else. Glory to God. You know, sickle cell. Any kind of blood disease, word of God, go in there and deal with it. The life also of Jesus, their mortal flesh, glory to God. We send the word of God to do it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We receive healing by faith for our families, for the husbands, for the wives, for the spouses, for the children, for the parents, for the friends, even for children's children, whosoever is in the mind of your people, Lord, today, and they are standing in the gap for their friends, for their brothers and sisters in the Lord. We believe the Lord today, together by faith, and we thank you as we receive this in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that in the self same hour, that miracle came. So Lord, we thank you that the miracle is happening even in this hour. In Jesus' name, we have declared. Amen and amen.